Peter B. Collins, News and Comment, Friday, July 26, 2013. We've got breaking news about Guantanamo to open this podcast today. More than 2 months since President Obama's May 23rd speech, where he basically pleaded with Congress to allow him to close Guantanamo, he is starting to move prisoners out. It was announced in Washington today that the U.S. intends to repatriate two detainees held at its Guantanamo prison to Algeria. Now, this is very interesting because a couple of weeks after Obama's speech, Andy Worthington, the journalist based in London who's done more coverage of Guantanamo than virtually any other human, got a report from Algeria that these two men, I believe it's the last two Algerians left at Guantanamo, had actually already been sent home. So this is an interesting catch-up of the news. We don't have further details, but White House spokesman Jay Carney said, "We're taking this step in consultation with the Congress in a responsible manner that protects our national security." Well, I am pleased to see movement by the White House to empty the prison. And we heard earlier this week about, and the sequence of these events doesn't really make sense to me, but they announced new review tribunals for some 81 men who are just trapped there indefinitely without charge or trial and told that they are too dangerous to be released. So it's inching along, but I'll take it. It is some progress in the stalemate over the Bush gulag on the tip of the island of Cuba. Unrelated, but interesting as well, William Lietzau, the top Pentagon official dealing with detainees, is stepping down to take a private sector job. So he's going to take a spin through the revolving door. He's got a job as deputy general counsel for PAE, a government services company. And I don't know that his experience dealing with our long-term prisoners is going to heal him up for a great job in industry, but that's what is occurring. And it says here, according to the New York Times and reporter Charlie Savage, that Lietzau played a major role in shaping detention policies during first the Bush administration and then during the Obama administration. And he has been the primary official shaping policies for law of war detention at Guantanamo and at Bagram. And I will tell you frankly that I follow these issues very carefully. I had never heard of the guy before. Never heard that there was even that job at the Pentagon. This is the most transparent administration in American history, right? More news and comment in a moment, and straight ahead, Kevin Gostola with an update on the final phase of the trial of Bradley Manning in court martial at Fort Meade, Maryland. As you may know, there are now two ways you can support the Peter B. Collins Show. Multitask Man, I'm not sure who that is, just took out a monthly subscription, and I'm grateful, MTM. Thanks for your support. And you can do it, too. Just go to my website at peterbcollins.com. Under my picture, there are links, and it takes just a couple of minutes to set up a subscription with PayPal making your payments. And it's easy and breezy. If you sign up for the annual $50 subscription, we still have some bags of great-smelling Kona coffee beans, courtesy of Russ in Hawaii. And we're including those as a special bonus for new annual subscribers, along with the bonus book from Sibel Edmonds called Classified Woman. The other way you can support the Peter B. Collins Show is to use GoDaddy.com. And Chloe is piping up right now because she supports GoDaddy big time. And they're supporting the Peter B. Collins Show. They've got the lowest cost web hosting with the best deals, unlimited storage and bandwidth, starting at $1.99 a month, along with a free domain name. And to get a special deal that also supports the Peter B. Collins Show, follow the GoDaddy link in the show file for this podcast at peterbcollins.com, and you'll get $5 off, in addition to the great prices, an additional $5 off a purchase of $30 or more. Again, the link is in the show file at peterbcollins.com. At Fort Meade, Maryland, we're in the final phase of the trial of Bradley Manning at court-martial. As we've discussed with Kevin Gostola, the really critical phase will be the sentencing portion, which follows. The prosecution rested on Thursday. The defense gave its final arguments, and I believe there will be some rebuttal from the prosecution. And then the trial is officially over and is then in the hands, the lap of Colonel Denise Lind, the trier of the court-martial, and there is no jury, as you may know. Here's an excerpt from today's update from Kevin Gostola at Fort Meade.
I think that shows you that they are and have become sensitive to some of the arguments that the defense has been making about Bradley Manning, about what they have said about him having good intentions, maybe being naive about how the information would change the world, but you're not really doing anything that wasn't rational, and definitely not doing anything that had an intent to aid any enemies. They say he knew that he wanted to give the information to WikiLeaks, and that by giving it to WikiLeaks, he was aware that it was going to get to Al-Qaeda. And the way that you hear them talk about it, it's as if this is what he wanted to do. They don't say that, but the way they're talking, you get the sense that they really believe that he was just okay with this happening. And I don't know where they're going with all of this, these emotionally charged attacks against Bradley Manning. They certainly, to me, don't have much value to the judge. It's not based in evidence. I guess it's to create this thing in her mind that Manning perhaps could have aided the enemy, but I just don't know if that's really how you need to do that. They have much more powerful evidence, so to stoop to this low to decide to attack his patriotism, I think it just speaks to the weaknesses in their case.
The full report from Kevin Gostola is available for subscribers today at peterbcollins.com, and it is packaged with an interview with attorney Bruce Afrin, who is the co-counsel with Carl Mayer on the suit challenging the detention clause of the NDAA. And there's some important information about this appeal, which will next be seen at the U.S. Supreme Court if they agree to hear it. And that conversation, as we said, is released to subscribers today. Well, the fate of Ed Snowden continues to play out. He is still, as far as we know, at the airport. A Russian attorney gave him a copy of War and Peace to help him pass the time. And now Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, is giving assurances to Russia in order to try to eliminate the grounds for asylum that Ed Snowden has claimed. So the U.S. has announced that in a letter to Russia, that they will not seek the death penalty against Snowden, and they actually gave him immunity from torture if he is returned to the United States. This is a remarkable assurance that I have never seen from our government before. And a copy of the letter was leaked to the New York Times by a Justice Department official. That leak, of course, will not be prosecuted. It says that despite the revocation of his passport on June 22nd, Snowden remains a U.S. citizen. He is eligible for a limited validity passport good for direct return to the United States, and the U.S. is willing to immediately issue a one-way passport for Ed Snowden. Isn't that generous? Isn't that just so sweet? And Snowden, citing the, a Russian official restated, Russia's refusal to extradite Snowden because there is no extradition treaty. Yet the U.S. is pulling out all the stops, trying to threaten damaging relations between the U.S. and Russia, and that Obama may cancel a planned meeting with Putin in September. So the high-stakes negotiations continue. And here's a dispatch from a website that I'd never heard of before, so treat it as such. It's called ENCA, ENCA.com, and it cites Russia's top human rights official, who said on Thursday that it's impossible to extradite whistleblower Ed Snowden to the United States. He echoes what the Russian officials have said. According to international conventions, a person who has requested temporary asylum must not be handed over. So that stalemate, that face-off continues. And the United States Senate wants to throw a little gasoline on the fire as great American Lindsey Graham demands that the State Department coordinate with lawmakers on penalties against nations that try to help Ed Snowden avoid extradition to the United States. And this is really phenomenal. To see us put our international relations at risk, to try to grab a fugitive who has already leaked, and I believe there's more in the pipeline to leak from Ed Snowden. He's probably waiting to get to a safe place before he tells Glenn Greenwald or other outlets to publish. But the relentless efforts by the United States I find deeply embarrassing. And what's it all about? Trying to plug those leaks. The most transparent administration in American history, which has cracked down on more whistleblowers than all of the administrations that preceded it, is willing to upend many relationships to try to get Ed Snowden. And here is the corrupt senator from New Jersey who chairs the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Menendez, saying that he warns that providing any refuge to Ed Snowden will be harmful to U.S.-Russia relations. Why don't you send him to your party palace in the Dominican Republic, Bob? Meanwhile, Julian Assange, from the comfort of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, has announced that he is a candidate for the Senate, not in the United States. They have one in Australia, his native land. And he's going to run that campaign from London until and unless he is released. And he's actually running with a slate of candidates in the WikiLeaks party in Australia. I'll follow up on that and pass along any other interesting information I learn about that rather unusual political initiative. Meanwhile, one of my heroes in Congress, Alan Grayson, who's been on our program several times already this year, he's the fiery Democrat from Florida, is hosting hearings, bipartisan hearings in the House of Representatives next week, and he is planning to call in critics of the NSA's surveillance program. Hallelujah, Alan. What a grand idea. Grayson said, I've been concerned about the fact that we've heard incessantly in recent weeks from General Alexander, head of the NSA, and Clapper, director of national intelligence, about their side of the story. We have barely heard anything in Congress from critics of the program. He says that Justin Amash, the Tea Party Republican who sponsored the amendment that narrowly failed that would have blocked funding for the NSA's phone collection program, is interested in these hearings. Quote, Mr. Amash has declared an interest in the hearing. There are several others who have a libertarian bent, largely the same people who represented the minority of Republicans who decided to vote in favor of the Amash amendment. Grayson said he will call ACLU attorneys as well as representatives from the right-leaning Cato Institute. Meanwhile, there is more and more talk, and I have to confess that I have been a party to starting this. Talk about a new church commission. Frank Church was the senator from Idaho who in 1975 convened the panel that investigated and brought daylight to the CIA's assassination schemes, the FBI's COINTELPRO program, and the NSA's watch list at the time. Back in 1975, there were 75,000 Americans being monitored by the NSA. That was all exposed, and we thought that it put assassinations and other double dealing behind us. But now that it's back and worse than ever, I believe we need a new round of church hearings to investigate interrogation and kidnapping, the drone strikes and presidential authority to kill people, and the massive surveillance program that is flatly, in my opinion, unconstitutional. So I hope we will see that, and there is an article in Friday's New York Times which basically presents that point of view, and I hope that you will echo that to your friends and other people you have influence over. Adam Schiff, a Democratic congressman from Southern California, has a bill in the hopper to change the rules for the FISA court. And this is long overdue. It's a modest step, but I certainly support it. He wants to require that if the government comes and requests a warrant from the FISA court, that there is some lawyer there to present the other point of view, so that it's at least, you know, has some semblance to an adversarial proceeding. Because right now, it's just a one-sided rubber stamp operation. And I support that. There's also a proposal by Steve Cohen, a congressman from Tennessee, also a Democrat, who has a bill that would let congressional leaders pick 8 of the court's members. This is a step forward. As a front-page story in Friday's New York Times notes that 10 of the current 11 judges assigned to the FISA court are Republican appointees, and 81% have been placed there by John G. Roberts. He's had a total of 16 appointments since he became Chief Justice, and almost all of them are former prosecutors. This, again, promotes the one-sided, lopsided approach where there is no voice for the Fourth Amendment or for the rights of the individuals whose rights are being trampled through the FISA court process. So I'm glad to see this attention to this murky FISA court, and I do support proposals for change there. A couple of quick looks at international stories. The people that we installed in Iraq, the pro-Iranian regime headed by Nouri al-Maliki, passed a message to John Kerry that Iran wants direct talks with the United States over its alleged nuclear programs. I think this is progress. Let's see if we can keep it going. And finally, we've been asking the question, when is a coup? We know a coup occurred in Egypt, but the Obama administration hasn't decided whether it was a coup. And meanwhile, the $1.5 billion in U.S. military aid that flows to Egypt every year is unimpeded. Obama did delay the delivery of 4 F-16 fighter jets to the Egyptian Air Force earlier this week to signal displeasure about the situation in Egypt. But we are not, at this point, going to cut off the big flow of cash to the coffers of the generals who are now in full control in Egypt. Thanks for joining me today for news and comment. Maybe this is the weekend you'll take out a subscription to Peter B. Collins' podcast and get your Kona coffee bonus.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.